He has never failed us. He never will fail us. He is faithful. He calls us to be faithful. This is the second week of our stewardship series. And today, we're going to be looking at being good stewards in the use of our time. This may be one of those most difficult areas of stewardship. If you don't have a Pastor's Pals booklet, run back to Sharon or Gordon and they will give you one. The sermon text is on page 829 in the Pew Bible. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 13. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. That's why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, our Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless the reading of His holy word. I don't have time. I don't have time. We hear that often, don't we? How many times have you said it this week? How many times have you heard it this week? It's in the vocabulary of every one of us here. You know, I would be more involved in church, but I just don't have enough time. I would visit my parents more often, but I just don't have enough time. I would be a deacon, but I don't have enough time. I would go back to school, but I just don't have enough time. I would practice the piano more, but I don't have enough time. I would spend more time with my family, but I don't have enough time. I would take a vacation, but I don't have time. It all seems to be about time. Yes, we hear those words often, and we say those words often. Time, time, time. Today, people are overbooked, overscheduled, and overcommitted. Would you agree? Pastors, pals, God has entrusted us with how many hours in each day? 24. We all have the same amount of hours in every day. 24 hours. Measured against eternity, our time on earth is just like a blink of an eye. The psalmist said in Psalm 39, "You have made my day a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath." To the eternal God, our time on this earth is very limited. It is very brief. Just as the steward in the ancient world knew that nothing over which he had control over or was supposed to be taken care of, he knew that none of that he owned at all. He knew that it belonged to his master, just as everything on this earth belongs to our master. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, said the psalmist. You know, this concept of stewardship actually begins with the recognition that God is the owner of everything and everyone on this earth. You know, we actually never own anything in our brief time on this earth. God just loans those things to us while we're here. And you know what? After we die, He's going to loan them to somebody else. They're just not ours. But God has put us in charge of this world. He has put us as trustees, as caretakers of this world. We are just the trustees of our talents, our time, our abilities, our gifts, our money, our resources. Pastors, pals, we're to be good stewards of the time that who has given us? God, that God has given us. Very good. Our time belongs to Him. Our time on earth And our energy, our intelligence, our opportunities, our relationships, our resources, all of those things too are gifts from God that He has entrusted us with to take care of and to manage. We are stewards of that. Now imagine that you had a bank that credited your account every day with $86,400. Imagine that. Now, it carried over no balance from day to day, and it allowed you to keep no cash in your account. And every evening, canceled whatever part of that amount you failed to use during the day. Well, what would you do? You would take it out every day, wouldn't you? You would take out $86,400 every day, and you would spend it to your advantage, hopefully the way you wanted, that God wanted you to spend it, but you would do that. You would draw out every cent every day. Well, we actually have a similar bank account, and its name is time. Every morning, it credits us with 86,400 seconds. 86,400 seconds. Now, what do we do with those? Because every night it rules off as lost whatever time we fail to invest with good purpose. And after we lose it, we can never get it back. How many of you said, if I could just have that to do over again? If I just had that time in my life again? If I just had that period in my life again? Well, each day, a new account is open to us. If we fail to use the day's deposits, yes, the loss is ours. No going back, no drawing against tomorrow. You know, how are we to be good stewards of the time God has given us? The scripture says it plainly in Ephesians there. Make the most of every opportunity. Some of your translations say, make good use of the time. Some of your translations say, buy up for oneself. And other translations say, redeem the time. Well, what does that really mean? What does it mean to buy out that opportunity, to redeem the time? Redeem is a market term used to buy out or purchase completely. Time is the translation of a Greek word which means opportunity. What if we thought of time every day when we woke up as opportunities? Lord, what opportunities are you going to give me today? What opportunities do I have to serve you? What opportunities do I have to praise your name? What opportunities do I have today to actually live out your purpose for my life? Buy out the opportunity. Redeem the opportunity. Make the most of the time. Redeeming the time basically means to convert the time into value, not to waste it. That obviously means that we have to prioritize in our life. And prioritizing is what next week's Sunday school lesson is about for adults and youth. So we have to prioritize the things in our life. God has given us enough time to carry out His plan for us. I actually read that statement a few months ago in a devotional. I believe it was a Rick Warren devotional. And then, if God has given us enough time to carry out His plan for us, then we're probably doing a lot of things He didn't mean for us to be doing. Have you ever thought about it that way? Well, ever since reading that devotional, I keep thinking about it that way. What are the things that are most important? What is it that God really wants me to do with this hour of my time today or with this 24-hour time segment? Why does it really matter if we waste our time? Why should we redeem it? Why should we use our time wisely? Pastors, pals, there are several reasons. The first, we should make the most of our time, verse 16 tells us, because the days are evil. We live in a difficult time. We live in an evil time. We live in a time when we didn't even think some of the times that would happen. Terry and I were actually interviewing, doing a pre-screening interview with a teacher this week who ended up saying the times are so bad. They're so evil. So that's the reason we can't waste time. That's the reason. I think we all know that. We all hear someone say that probably every week. We see evil lurking around the corner. We don't have to go too far to find it. Since the Lord is going to come to judge the world, time is precious. You know, it's not the time to surrender. It's not the time to withdraw, as many people in our world have done today. There are way too many Christians sitting on the sidelines. Way too many Christians sitting back and just relaxing, or being couch potatoes or pew warmers or whatever, when this is the time to get up and act. And I think we see that very clearly in this passage today. Satan is seeking to cause us to lose our focus because he wants us to be distracted. Now, some people are more easily distracted than others, so we have to be very focused to stay on track with what Jesus Christ wants us to do. The wise use of our time is a serious, serious matter. Paul said to the Ephesians, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." One of the reasons we should use our time wisely. Why else should we use our time wisely? Paul tells us clearly, because life on this earth is short. It's very short. Some have listed the seven ages that people go through in life. Let's start at the nursery and go to the senior adults. We have seven stages. There are the spills, the drills, the thrills, the bills, the ills, the pills, and the wills. You ever been in any of those stages? You get it? I don't think everybody got that. But anyway, I can email it out this week. But anyway, it seems like that we just have hopped from the thrills to the pills, right? Or the thrills to the wills sometimes. You know, we think it was just yesterday, and we say that often. Why, it feels like just yesterday I did this or did that. And the older we get, the faster time seems to go. Now, young people, children and teenagers, and probably even college students, you know how long an hour seems when you're taking a test? Or when you're waiting for that Friday night event? It seems like it takes forever. But you know what? The older you get, those Fridays start rolling around like roller coaster rides. You know, it's Friday again. It's Friday again. You'll understand that one day. James 4 says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." In the early 1970s, there was a man named Jim Croce. Or if you lived in Alabama, you said Jim Croce. But if that's the way we just said it. He wrote a song that said, sing it with me. "If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you." Do you know that? Remember that song from the 70s? Okay, yeah, even some of our younger ones know that. Well, those are great lyrics, and it would be nice if we could save time, but we can't. We can't do that. In fact, a few months after Jim wrote that song, he was tragically killed in a plane crash in Louisiana at the age of 30. Wow, he wasn't able to save that time. We can't save that time either. You know, we don't know when we're going to die, and we don't know when Jesus might come again. Whichever comes first, the point is actually this: we need to be ready. We don't need to be asleep. Paul says, "Wake up, O sleeper." So now I ask you, how do you spend your time? Back in 1967, some experts predicted that at the turn of the century, that technology would have taken over so much of our work that life was going to change drastically. Now, obviously, it changed the opposite way. But those particular experts in 1967 said, by the year 2000, the American work week is going to be 22 hours long. Because we're going to have all of this technology. Someday somebody's going to figure out the more technology we have, the more we have to work. But anyway, and that we would only work 27 weeks a year. Read the report. As a result, one of our biggest problems would be deciding what to do with our leisure time. Is that your problem? Obviously, the prediction missed the mark drastically because time seems to pass so quickly and we're trying to use the time we have. Now, do you think about how quickly time passes and flees from us? One source says that in the lifetime of an average American, let's say somebody in their 70s, that this is what you will do in your lifetime. You will spend 6 months sitting at stoplights. You will spend 8 months opening junk mail. 1 year looking for misplaced objects. I think some people are more than that. 2 years unsuccessfully returning phone calls. 4 years of doing housework. 5 years of waiting in line. And 6 years of eating. Obviously, this is a little different from person to person, but if you're average, then I've read another article that based upon an average 71-year-old life, that you will spend 23 years sleeping. That's if you sleep 8 hours a day. That you will spend 6 years in a car, 3 years eating, 11 years in leisure activities, 2 years getting dressed, and 17 years working. Now, have you ever really thought about your time like that? But let's look at an individual week. There are 168 precious hours in each week. The average person will spend about 56 of these hours sleeping. Now, I said average. Many of you get more, many of you get much less than 8 a day. And about 24 of those hours in eating and personal hygiene. And about 50 of those hours working or traveling to work. Many of you work many more than 50 hours. That means if you're that average person, that you have about 38 hours a week of discretionary time left. A little over 5 hours a day. Where are you investing those hours? What do you do with that time? You know, the way we spend our time does reveal what is most important to us. So how do we redeem the time? How do we make the most of every opportunity? Paul says, by being alert. Therefore, he says, verse 14 again, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So we can redeem the time by being alert. We can also redeem the time by being wise people. Paul says, live as wise people. He says that in verse 15. Pastor's Pals, verse 17 says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So a wise use of time for us is to seize every moment that is lived outside of God's will. Can you take an inventory of your day yesterday? Which of those days were lived outside of His will? I want to do that differently today. What are you doing with your time that is outside the will of God? What are you doing with your time that is selfish? What are you using your time to do to build up the kingdom of God? How else do we make the most of every opportunity? By being filled with the Holy Spirit. Pastor's Pals, Ephesians 5:18 says, Do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, which means corruption, which means depravity, which just means downright sin. Nothing good comes from drunkenness, or nothing good comes from alcohol consumption. At all, even a little. You hear that? Now that could be a whole sermon in itself, and we'll save that for another day, but nothing good. Pastor's Pals, we are to be controlled and led by nothing but the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs from Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. That means that we're to draw close to God and to live according to what the Bible says. That's how we are spirit filled. That includes abstaining from pleasure seeking. It doesn't mean that we have to be busy all the time. We ought to rest when it's time to rest. We ought to make time for drawing close to God. And that drawing close to God means those times of prayer and Bible study and spending that time with just Him. How else do we make the most of every opportunity? By doing the Lord's will. And we know His will not only through the Word of God, but we know that through prayer. Martin Luther, that great Reformation leader, once said, "I have so much to do today that I have to spend the first 3 hours in prayer." Wow. I have so much to do today that I have to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. You know, we know that God speaks through His Scripture. We know that God speaks through prayer. And Satan knows that. And Satan, I just read this in the last week or so, Satan wants to limit our praying because he knows that our praying limits him. Isn't that good? Satan wants to limit our praying because he knows that our praying limits him. Yes, the way we use our time is a spiritual issue. To become the person that God wants us to be and achieve those tasks, we must manage our time carefully. Time is a gift from God. He's given it to us, and we are accountable to Him for the way we spend it. We need to recognize that our time is not ours either. It is God's. The way we choose to spend it determines or shows how close we really are to Him. It is a trust. It's a trust from the Lord to be utilized in ways that fulfill His calling to us. Reviewing our schedule regularly will help us to ensure that we take care of this precious resource. So I encourage you, take a mental look at your schedule right now while we're sitting here. And when you go home, you can take a larger view of that. But take a mental look at your schedule and ask yourself, ask ourselves, does my schedule reveal a wise use of my time according to God's plan? Where will I end up if I continue to invest my time the way I invest it right now? What will I be accomplishing for the kingdom of God if I continue to use my time the way I'm using it right now? Does the way I spend my time help me become more and more like Jesus? Some of you may have read that article in the Western Recorder. I don't recall the man's name, but he was a truck driver for many years, and he couldn't wait to retire, not because that was going to be this thing where he could do all this fun stuff, but he couldn't wait to retire because he decided to retire and become a pastor and to spend the rest of his life, he says, in doing God's will and leading people to Jesus Christ. If you haven't read that this week. Again, I say we have to have just enough time to do God's will on this earth. Just enough time to do His will. So I ask you, are you a faithful steward of your time? The first step in being a good steward of your time is to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because then you get it. You get what I'm talking about. And good stewards follow Him completely and prioritize their lives, work in His church and in His kingdom. So the question to each of us is, am I a good steward? Will you answer that? Are you a faithful steward of your time? Let's pray. Father, we want to be faithful stewards of the time that You have given to us. Father, we actually admit that this is probably one of the most difficult parts of stewardship. We know it's a lot easier usually to just give our money than it actually is to give of ourselves. Because when we know that we give our time, we know that we've given a part of ourselves that we can never get back. So, Father, convict us of our time usage. Father, help us to use it wisely. And Father, help us to not allow others to waste our time when we know what you've called us to do. Father, help us to stay on track with you. Father, help us to keep our eyes, our focus on you. And Father, help us to be good stewards of that which you've called us. Father, and we know that you've told us to take time in our lives to be students of the word, to be prayer warriors. Father, help us to take that time to be those holy people you've called us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today we invite you to be a faithful steward, first of all, by coming and knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We invite you to be a faithful steward of your time, your talents, and whatever else that God has given to you. If you have decisions to make, will you make those as we stand and sing our hymn of response, Take Time to Be Holy, and that's hymn 446.